You're listening to Food Talk STL on 590 The Fan KFNS and KFNS.com. Now, let's go back to David Craig.
And we're coming to you this morning from the Bomarito Automotive Group Studios here at 590 The Fan KFNS. And joining me on the show now are Bridget and Maggie Kelly, a.k.a. the Kelly Twins. Ladies, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks.
It's an honor. Thank you. Back to Food Talk.
I am very happy to have you. Well, you know, here's the deal. As I told you when I met you all recently, and I had listened to your show in the past and actually got a couple of guests on there.
Yes, you did.
And so it was back in the winter, and I was talking to my friend Walt, who is a branding kind of guy, copywriter guy, and I had just worked out at the lodge, and we're standing out there, and we're chatting, and he said, well, David, it's a show about food, right? Yeah. It's a talk show. Yeah. Well, it's food talk.
And you know, it's kind of deductive, isn't it? That's kind of how Bridge and I came up with it.
and you know, and then so we started the show in February, beginning of February, and about a month into it, I did an online search because a lot of people had said, your show is going to be like the Kelly Twins, right? And I said, well, yeah, kind of, but they have more restaurant cred than I do. I've never really worked in a restaurant. But, you know, I've eaten in them, and I've done some PR work for people.
I know people have eaten in restaurants, too. Yeah.
Okay, so here's the deal. We started the show, and then I did an online search, and I said, oh, dang, that was the name of their show.
But it was a great show. It's all good. Right?
Well, good. So, there's no hard feelings. There's no litigation
well, we're here,
coming.
Right?
There's no litigation.
It's early yet, David.
Yeah. Still on my first cup.
Okay, so you guys were on, how long were you doing that show over on KTRS?
Almost 10 years, over 9 at least, maybe over 10. We were on live every Saturday, yeah.
Now, you guys, you had a lot of restaurant people on, but you all did a lot of...
National, local, artisans, restaurants.
It wasn't just about restaurants. It was never intended to be a restaurant review per se, because that's trendy and there's plenty of people doing that. Our focus was about bringing people back into their kitchen and helping them to understand how to do that in an era where there's generational loss of, you know, culinary knowledge and heritage. And
our
Maggie,
birthright. We're losing our birthright
my God,
to food.
America's birthright. Certainly Maggie's in my birthright. We grew up in a home, you know, I say we grew up two generations ago on a hill in the country.
If we wanted cookies or candy or sweets, we had to go make it.
Mm-hmm. We didn't actually have to harvest the wheat, but we
or
did harvest our own meat proteins.
But on your show, you gave cooking advice, and you told you had people who call in with a specific cooking problem, and you would answer
anything. Anything hospitality, food, or culinary related. It could be about why my pork chops are sticking. It can be about dining etiquette. It can be about service. It could be about anything food or hospitality related, whether that's cooking in your kitchen or
fine. We had gardeners, local gardeners and farmers. That was a big emphasis. Where food comes from and how we connect to it.
I haven't had too much. I did have, you all know Andy Ayers.
Oh, gosh.
We love Andy.
Had an interview with him, and he was great.
He's magnificent.
And, you know, talking about making the transition from being a restaurant owner into being a sort of food broker. I think the funniest thing he told me was about going out and picking up some broccoli from a farmer at a truck stop alongside the interstate somewhere in Illinois.
Right.
And he said, you know, we were like looking around and wondering if the cops were looking at us like we were making a drug deal or something.
No.
But, you know, you go where you need to go to get what you need to do.
Andy's he's a local hero, and he has filled a niche that was vacant forever. I mean, there was no local distributor, except there was one guy, Mike Lombardo. We call him the old man. He's still around. He's my father's age. He's an octogenarian.
Over 80, yeah.
Yes. And this man called me from the hospital at a restaurant one time. I had asked him for radishes. It was December or January. He calls me in a panic saying, Maggie, Farabee, his daughter, she's going to all the Schnucks and she's getting all the radishes in town. She's going to get them to you tonight. And I said, Mike, it's okay. It's just radishes.
From his hospital bed.
I was like, Mike, where are you? And he goes, oh, I'm in the hospital. Don't worry about it. I'm fine.
All right. Now, that's
that
service.
That is a produce guy.
That is that's rather tremendous service.
That is a man who cares.
If you're just scanning through the AM dial and you've stopped it here on 590, our show is Food Talk STL.
With the Kelly Twins today.
Now, y'all didn't do STL. I added STL, so it's kind of a little bit of a branding thing there.
Yeah.
So what are you guys up to these days? What all kind of things are you doing? And what's in the pipeline? What's on deck for you all?
On deck. Well, you want to go first, Bridge?
Well, I would say so we haven't been producing our own television and radio in about what, year and a half, 2 years since we've done live radio.
Well, we did the documentary.
But in the meanwhile,
but that
right,
was a different...
we picked up the whole while we were talking on, you know, food talk with our thing. It was really our focus is food, but over years we came to realize that this really, when we speak of food, we speak of lifestyle. It's a big part of our lifestyle, and we speak to sustainable living issues. To that end, we received a grant from Caleb in University City to produce a documentary on what sustainability is, how we can make small steps towards it, a very pedestrian entry-level
sustainability
approach.
Sustainability for dummies.
Yeah, so we did a 1 hour, it's a long-form documentary. It's called Sustainability in St. Louis, and it's available for free online now. It's downloadable through iTunes. All of this stuff is linked from our website online, so if anybody would be interested, we'd like to see this shared with school children and such. That was one of our most recent endeavors.
And it's on YouTube.
Is it on YouTube? I don't think so. We have it. It's available, though, if you were to go to our website is wordpress.com/KellyTwins, and everything that we have is linkable from there. So you can watch a documentary from there.
Now, the TV cooking segments that you all did were streamed online before, did you all do a whole bunch of those, and are those available these days?
Some of them are. There's a couple whole shows. There's a lot of segments. Our bloopers seems to be the most popular. Maggie's pregnant and asks if this, you know, kitchen makes her look fat.
It did, by the way.
That's on our YouTube channel. Again, all linkable online. So some of it is out there. Yeah.
Now, with as much food media as there is on television these days, with Travel Channel, Food Network, Cooking Channel, and all that, have you all shopped much of your stuff toward the national outlets? And have you ever...
We did a stint of national syndication with the radio show. Food Talk. It was actually, we called that one Twice Baked with the Kelly Twins. Mm-hmm. And then...
We did syndicate the show.
The television show was syndicated as well. It is broadcasting right now in other parts of the country on Blue Highways Television. A man named Stan Hitchcock, an old crooner from Lake of the Ozarks.
Oh, he's awesome.
He was part of the crew that launched Country Music Television Network. So, and he's a good man. I mean, you know, I've seen a lot of ugliness in this industry, and what a great guy.
Now, this is one of those high-end obscure cable channels, Blue Highways, or is it?
Well, they do.
Is it Lost Highways, Blue Highways? What is
Blue
it?
Blue Highways. Okay. So they are linear. They are broadcast through television outlets, and they do online distribution as well.
Okay, this is Maggie, and that's Maggie, that's Bridget Kelly, right?
Yeah, I'm the one on the right.
On Food Talk STL on 590 The Fan, KFNS. Now, which one of you worked for Bill Cardwell, and which one of you is now working for Bill Cardwell?
Okay, we do have more stuff going on we'll get to. Bill is my culinary papa, whether he likes it or not. And I opened Cardwell's at the Plaza with him as his sous chef. It is where I met my amazing husband, Dave Owens, who was Bill's partner for many years. And I worked at Cardwell's off and on for a good 9 years. I left once or twice, but it was always like coming home, like an old pair of jeans that just fit. And he's talk about icons in this industry. He's an amazing guy. And recently,
industry professionals.
Oh, Bill is a champ. So, recently Bill had a need in his dining room for some real strength, and Bridget, and he thought of Bridge, so that was really exciting and just so funny. I never would have imagined Bridget going to work with Bill.
Me either. That is a funny twist of fate. So I spent over 20 years in the industry, and then the last six and a half years I was out of it. I was working as an executive professional elsewhere, and you know, all of this kind of leads up to the fact that I'm writing a book now. It's called Back on the Floor at 44. So here I am, 44 years old, spent 10 years in media production, another 5 years doing other things, recreating myself, which tends to be any time I need to do something, I go and create something. I don't seem to fit in a lot of places, but I have lots
we
of things.
We never have.
Yeah, lots of things I want to do. So, but I really hit a point where, you know what, I just needed some decent income. You know, this is, the book is really about, definitely about industry professionalism. I see it as somewhere between Anthony Bourdain meets Jerry Meyer. Danny Meyer. I'm sorry. Danny Meyer, the guy from Clayton.
Gotcha.
That wrote Setting the Table, and he is top
Blue
flight.
Blue Smoke, yeah, absolutely.
National He's top dude. Flight professionalism, and then there's Anthony Bourdain, who tells the true underbelly story. So, but it's
Bridget's
also...
writing an expose.
I mean, when you look at... I was in the top 5% earning bracket in this country as a woman executive.
Sure.
I decided to walk away when, you know, an offer was made. Basically, they probably could hire two people for what they were paying me. And I declined, you know, through the new offer. And thought, well, I'll just go out and find something else. Well, guess what, folks? I'm now one of those people out in America struggling. And I, you know, so that is, that's, so this book tells, I see it as partly telling America's story, and also that it touches on the loss of the American farm, which is very much a part of America's story, and it reflects, I think I'm one of millions. I don't think I'm unique. I think I'm just one of many.
Well,
it's a very honest telling of what it feels like to be an American right now.
I know so many people who have either changed occupations because they wanted to, or because the economy kind of forced them to.
Well, it's a good time, right.
And sometimes, you know, you're making big bucks over here, and that job kind of goes away. And they say, well, we can hire somebody. And, you know.
A 20-something.
You do have to say at least your people were forthright with you to tell you that rather than.
Oh, I'm not upset with them at all. And it was a good time for me to go, too. No question. So,
And then she went to Colorado for the summer. It was excellent timing.
Oh, God, yeah. Don't weep for me, man. Yeah, we bought an RV, took the kids, and went all the way across the country, the furthest southwesternmost point of Colorado as far as we've ever been. And we work camped all summer. We traveled all over Colorado to far reaches that you can't do in just a week, you know, drive. So, outstanding, great timing. So, you know, it was time to get serious when I got back, and I thought, well, you know, I was tired of being overqualified, underqualified. I'm sure everyone else out there who's been recreating themselves has heard this too. So I went to waiting tables. I thought, well, you know, here I am, 44. Can I still do this? Is my body still capable? Am I going to? Now, I didn't start at Cardwell's. I started somewhere else. And the first week, my feet were screaming. My legs were in writhing pain. It was a rough start. So, but it's fresh eyes. And it's, there are things I can't help but notice within this.
It's not
industry.
Like riding a bike.
I carry.
It's like getting back on the
somebody
horse.
Somebody said
you.
That. I'll share that excerpt. Actually, not any time now would be a good time to share this excerpt. Though,
okay,
from,
go ahead.
From the book. You want to hear that?
Sure. Well, now, but are you working in the kitchen at Cardwell's?
No.
At the Plaza?
No. Maggie's the kitchen. I'm the front of the house, and
okay.
That's. I think for years, especially since I wore a chef coat on TV for 5 years in a row every day, folks assigned chef to me. I'm not a chef. I am a hospitalitarian. I am front of the house. As my brother Daniel describes us, he says, you know, Maggie's beer out your nose funny. I am queen of charm and grace, which is what you require in the front of the house. It is very different disciplines.
Oh, sure.
But you also need
kitchen,
someone.
And in the kitchen, you require beer.
Yes.
True.
But, you know, you also need the ability to communicate between front and back. And I've, for years, the 20 years I was in the industry, that was always a real point. It's a bottleneck in your kitchen. And if you have someone that can translate between front and the back and keep things going smoothly, that's a critical function in a restaurant. And, you know, an industry pro, Chef Gauthier, out at L'École Culinaire, he's one of my mentors. I go to him and say, Skip, what do I do? And he says, you know, Bridge, it's really hard to find. I mean, St. Louis is such a restaurant town, David, you know.
I do know, yes.
But this man says, and I hear it all over the place, I heard it when I interviewed at the last job, it's really hard to find good front-of-the-house management, and I can certainly speak to that.
Well, but the cooking schools now also teach people, yes, here's how to butcher a pig, here's how to sauté this, here's how to do this. Mm-hmm. But here's how to greet customers and deal with issues. And,
well, apparently
and
they're still working on that
it's
point.
It's a very important thing.
I think.
It's critical.
I'm going to jump in here, folks.
Please.
I think that as we evolve and St. Louis becomes more and more savvy, the whole country is becoming more savvy with food and where it comes from. And as culinarians and professionals and diners, we are all becoming more aware of we have to be responsible for more. Where it's coming from, how we're handling it, what resources are we using, what are we wasting, how are we taking care of our more sophisticated palates and awareness in the dining room. And so everybody kind of has to be more knowledgeable. You know, our students need to understand where our food's coming from. The effort. I mean, Andy Ayers is a great example. Well, you've got now a middle guy who's connecting to the farmer and the kitchen. So he's minimizing invoices and making it easier for chefs to access this food, but he's also adding a cost. And that's hard for some restaurants. I mean, it's so much cheaper to go to the big box guy and have it all delivered at a perfect size and a perfect price. And it's so much cheaper than getting it from a farmer. 4 years ago when I left my last restaurant in the Central West End, Terrine, a sustainable restaurant, we called it Conscious Cuisine, for the first time in my life as an adult, I was able to grow my garden again. Bridge and I grew up mm-hmm. with a garden bigger than my entire property where I live right now.
Yes.
And that was just one small corner of it, you know, and separately we raised the animals and then we raised the feed to feed the animals. So growing this garden now, it all comes back, the effort, the labor, the commitment, the time. And once my garden was successful 4 years in, I became a slave to my garden, and I'm pickling, and I can't go do something because I have to handle this produce, and it's fantastic.
And it's really difficult for chefs and farmers to connect.
Well, back to that thought, though, about front of the house, back of the house, and all of that. I think really in pretty much every industry, even if you are a specialist, you should have an idea what's going on in other parts of the building.
Yes.
I mean, in a radio station.
Smokes. David, it's about relationships.
In a radio station,
yes.
You need to know, you know, the on-air people, the salespeople, the technical people, the dang business manager in radio, usually.
And be nice to your engineer, unless you want to run the board yourself.
Not to mention
right,
your
Matt?
Guests. Who are walking through the door
thumbs
and what the impressions
window.
Are. Is your bathroom clean? What's your salad? Right. What's the first course that comes out? Because that's your first impression.
Well, let's come. We need to take a break. We'll come back and we'll get that book excerpt from your book that's in progress.
I have big news, too.
Okay, good. We'll get all of that coming up. We're going to take a break. We're broadcasting from the Bomarito Automotive Group Studios, as we do each Saturday from 11 to noon on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and online at KFNS.com.